right, there's a lot of moving parts to this conversation, but we're just going to keep it simple. 5 years from now, where is your passion with college sports? Get out your crystal ball. Are you more invested? Less invested? The same? The big news over the weekend, if you missed it, schools can pay players directly now. $20 million for your entire athletic department across all sports, sanctioned legally. So no more amateurism and jumping through the hoops of the NIL model, although that model is still out there, and that's where this gets messy. And some schools are going to choose to prioritize some sports. Like in the South, if you have a great baseball program, John, you may have to cut a little more into your baseball program. But if you have a good football team, you don't want to be giving up any of that money because you're trying to keep up with everybody else in the SEC. And here in the Big Ten, you've got schools like Indiana who love their basketball. Are they going to have a tough time toggling between the two?
Yeah, is this going to create basketball schools and football schools? Is... If for these athletic departments, because I mentioned, they're not going to be given this. This is all coming out of income that they're currently getting. So broadcast rights, like this is all revenue share. This is where this is coming from. So all of that has been going to coaches' salaries, which I know everybody has had issues with. Like coaches are getting rich. Why not the players that they're coaching? That's why we're here.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's services that the athletic department provides all student athletes. So if they're going to cut $1 million or $5 million or $10 million worth of those services, because most of these athletic directors are saying, hey, we are going to spend the max, then what other things are going to be lost inside that athletic department that were once services that they provided all student athletes?
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of women's sports are going to lose some amenities. A lot of non-revenue sports, men's sports that don't make money, are going to lose revenue, so are going to lose resources. So wrestling, men's gymnastics, it's not just women's sports, any sports that aren't big revenue generators, schools are probably going to go bare bones to make sure they can use that $20 million on the sports that they see the return on.
Yeah, the ones that are going to actually pay the bills.
Yeah.
And continue to pay the bills. And it's... That's where I think we are looking at, because we all went through, obviously, we all went through the pandemic. And part of what happened during that, when there was no check coming in from the NCAA, when there were no, you know, tickets being sold for football games, what did we see across a lot of college sports? Well, they're starting to trim varsity sports, no longer having those programs. Now, some of them have come back, but this is another hit to athletic departments. And yes, there are athletic departments that will be able to absorb this. But there's not many. If you look across college athletics on a yearly basis, there are probably only 8 to 10 on any given year that are actually profitable. All of the rest of them lose money on a regular basis.
So what does this mean for you guys as fans? 248-539-9797. Texter says, I've always loved college football. The last 5 years have made it really hard to continue to love it. If the next five mirror the last five, we're talking 10 years of this, volume and significance, my interest will likely die, Dave in Detroit. I don't know who Dave's a fan of, but it applies across the board.
Yeah, and one of the issues could be, especially as we go to 12, now 16 teams in the college football playoffs, is that just going to be an annual event for those that spend the most money? Is it the top 12 to 14 teams, maybe even all 16, are they just the ones that can actually spend the most amount of money? They're going to make money on the college football playoffs. So those that don't get there, where are they getting that extra revenue from? How are they going to be able to actually spend money to get into that class of program?
See, here's the problem. As you make your sport a professional sport, but you don't have all the other things that pro sports have, like rev shares and luxury taxes. You don't have contracts. They're not technically employees. I mean, we need so much more red tape, which nobody likes, but is necessary at this point, right? And I don't know what permutations it's going to take. It's tough because it's not like you have 30 or 32 teams. You have more than 100.
Mm-hmm.
And varying priorities among those schools.
Yeah, if you've got, 26 varsity sports, just throw out a number, because the Big Ten does
they have a lot
have more varsity sports than SEC, Big 12, all that stuff. That's part of what separates the Big Ten from some of those other conferences. are you now going to go down to 21 varsity sports? Because if you're looking at cutting a women's sport, well, you're going to have to cut a men's sport at the same time.
Yep. Texter says, fans don't care about what the players get paid, or that I want rules on kids staying at schools to go back to the old system where you sit out a year to transfer. I get these are young adults, but these are jobs with contracts now. Not true. I need to make that distinction. There are no contracts right now. If you transfer, you have to sit out a year, get rid of the Wild Wild West aspect. I understand the fan point of view of, like, I'm not going to count anybody's income. I want consistency. Yeah. We don't see any consistency year to year in college athletics
well,
anymore.
And this is going to be an issue that's on both sides, right? The scholarships are all 1 year renewable. And so that's the only quote unquote contract that there is. And with this comes, and we'll just use football as an example, a 105 roster limit. You can fund all of those scholarships now, where before it was 85 scholarships, and then you could have as many walk-ons as you want. Now they're going to add 20 scholarships, which is another price tag that these schools are going to have. And again, for the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Notre Dames, like, that's not going to be an issue.
Yeah. Do you find it at all ironic that as we've made it, quote, easier for the little guy to get a footing with expanded playoff, like, the little guy finally was going to have a seat at the table?
Yeah.
And now
let's pull that rug out.
Now it's actually a little Tykes chair, and you can't even see above the table. You're there, but you can't actually do anything about it. Yeah, you may make it as a group of five team, but you don't have the budget. You don't have the cash flow. And now it matters more than ever before. It's like they can't ever get it right. I know that Alabama's going to have more money and more resources than Coastal Carolina. But the thought of the playoff was, can we try to level it just a little bit? And this isn't going to level the playing field at all.
No, and what did we say about the, you know, look at the Final Four, and especially the transfer portal. If you're able to pay the best basketball players, they will come play for you, and those are the teams that ended up in the Final Four. Those are the teams that ended up winning a national championship.
The big boys are now essentially minor league football teams. That's Amy in the car. Texter says, I'll be way less interested. The mid-majors can't afford this. Need to move the mid-major conferences to a separate division away from the Big Ten and the SEC. More fragmenting. Everybody loves that. Yeah, you see, at every level of this, it permutates, twists and turns. Right. And it does feel like a runaway train at times.
We've got Division 1, 2, 3. We've got NAIA schools. We've got all of these different divisions, and you're probably looking at the D1 schools breaking up even more and creating more divisions and the haves, and then everybody else is going to be the have not. So, you know, you go do whatever you want to do. And these, you know, what, 30 schools, 32 schools that can afford to pay to play?
So the Orange Bowl trophy famously has a bowl of oranges full.
Yes.
Would the have not championship have like one orange peel at the bottom of that? Yeah, I won the Have Not National Championship. Congrats.
Right. And but so you're also getting one of the other complications. I mentioned the roster limit. The scholarship is 1 year renewable, but doesn't have to be renewed. And we know that, you know, players can jump in the transfer portal currently twice a year. I think that's going to change, probably only be once a year. But if the players, the athletes, have the opportunity to jump in the portal, then you're also going to have to allow those programs, in essence, to cut players. So now you have somebody who's on a path to a degree.
Figure it out.
That gets cut. Now, are you going to stay at that school?
It's callous.
Because their scholarship's no longer there. Or are they going to try and find another place to go, regardless of the money, and now you don't have a chance to finish your degree at that school?
So this is seen as a resolution. The decision, the ruling, schools can now pay up to $20.5 million across our athletic departments. We didn't resolve anything. There's so much more that needs to be resolved. Kevin in Grosse Pointe, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I think like so many things, they've overcorrected a system that was flawed and turned it over on its head. And then people are going to call and they're going to say that they hate this and they hate how college athletics is going. But if there wasn't an appetite for this, it wouldn't be going this direction. This is what people want, and there's probably 16 schools that want to have their own championship every year, and they don't care about anybody else or swimming or track or any of that. I think it's probably going to be a shame that we're going to lose a lot of those sports and those opportunities for kids, and it's going to be focused directly on just a few things. And I think without restraints that this whole program is going to be a mess. We're going to have to redo the whole thing in a few years, or else it's just going to get out of hand.
Kevin, I think it's well said, and a texter echoed your same point, essentially saying Olympic sports are the ones that are going to really bear the brunt of all of this. And someone points out it will actually hurt us down the line in the actual Olympics.
It very well could. I mean, the feeder system, where all the great athletes go when it's not an Olympic year. They go to universities and colleges
and
to train.
And train, and yeah.
And they get great facilities to use. They get great coaching. And now if those programs no longer exist, where are they going to go to train?
Yeah, they'll shrink. There'll still be a few, I'm sure, but there will be far, far few. How about this? This is a really good way of summing it up. College football is turning into the NFL with an MLB pay structure. I think that's really well said.
Sure. I mean, there's no...
You're going to have Dodgers, and if you're the A's, like, good luck. Maybe it may make the playoffs to tie it all together, but Moneyball's not getting it done. You're not winning at all.
No, but I think it's even further down. Like, at some point, if you don't have the ability to pay up to that $20.5 million and go and pay the best athletes, they're going to go where they can get paid.
Yes. Well, okay, there is someone on Ticket Text. I found one that says they like this. We'll read that next. We got phone calls to get to. It's 97.1.
Hey, in sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, it sure as heck feels personal. The same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Femininio steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you need an attorney who's going to make it personal. That someone is David Femininio. He uses the slogan, and I've told you many times, get David, get paid. It's not just a slogan. It's a promise to take care of you. If you or someone you know has been injured, tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Tigers doing their thing over the weekend. Took 2 or 3 against the Cubs. We'll talk about it at 7:35. The statement that they made, the statement that you guys made, Tiger fans, over the weekend. And Heather and John both at grad parties this weekend, and it got us thinking about a topic we should be discussing this morning. It is grad party season. We'll get to that later in the hour. Right now, we're talking college football and college athletics, but football is where we see it. That's where the money's going to go. Mm-hmm. The NCAA can now sanction schools to pay athletes directly.
Yeah, they've allowed.
They've been forced to.
On starting July 1... athletes that are going to receive payment, it's not going to be every athlete, and it'll be, you know, football players, men's basketball team, and then you'll start seeing some women's basketball, you'll start seeing some, you know, spread out around athletics, but they're going to receive a paycheck from the university that they are, you know, attending at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's probably part of the problem is at the moment. What does that even mean anymore?
When we have these conversations, they spiral into all these little different avenues. And what about Olympic sports and women's sports? And what about schools that want to pay basketball more than other schools? And do we get basketball schools? And what about guardrails? And what about NIL? And what about deep breath. Just answer the question 5 years from now. Is this going to be something that you care about the same way you do now? More or less or the same? Let's get to John and Flint. John, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. So 5 years from now, I probably will care less. I'm already starting to lose interest. I don't know why. It's just something's making me lose interest. I can't explain it. But I wanted to ask John something. You know, U of M guy. U of M has a great football and basketball team and other sports as well. But how are they going to prioritize between the football and the basketball team?
It depends on the school.
Yeah, it all depends on the school, and I don't know what the exact numbers will be, but I would imagine that they're going to follow what we've heard from other schools, where they're going to spend 75% of that money on their football roster, 15% on the men's basketball roster. That leaves 10% for the rest of the student athletes, which is still the vast majority.
Okay. And it may be more extreme than that.
I like U of M football and basketball, so, you know.
Well, and that's kind of what they're going to base the decision on.
Yeah, it sucks one program's going to get dinged or whatever because of this. I don't like the new rules. I like the old format better.
Yeah, I would say dinged in the sense that, but let's unpack that for a second. How much money is men's gymnastics getting funneled right now at Michigan? $0.00 being paid directly by the school to male gymnasts. That's not going to change. They're not going to lose any money in this. They're just not going to get a cut of it, right? So when we say, like, how we frame this matters. The basketball program getting 10% or 20% or 25% is more money directly from the school than they've ever received. So,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think the bigger question is, how are schools coming up with this money?
Right.
And because everybody looks at whether it's Michigan or Ohio State or USC, like they're flush with cash. But there are and there are some programs that are, but they don't end the year with a surplus of $20.5 million. Now you tack onto that 20 more scholarships in football, more scholarships in basketball. You're able to fund more scholarships in all of the sports. So your increase isn't just, you know, a budget line item. This is a new budget line item, $20.5 million mm-hmm. going to student athletes. So where is that money coming from that was already planned in, you know, past years to go to, you know, facility maintenance, you know, upgrade facilities, all of that different, those different stuff, like that, you're going to have to find a way to generate more money. And there are going to be schools that can do that. The vast majority of schools,
tough decisions,
won't be able to.
Yeah. One quick call. Dan in Ypsilanti, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good for college sports. I think it's going to fix a lot of the problems that we've seen the last few years, because you're not going to have the transfer portal, because you can sign guys to contracts and keep them from moving on. And you're going to keep guys from going pro, and you see that in basketball already. You're going to see it in hockey and baseball, and it's going to lift all the ships.
Well, there's no contracts right now. You still are only signing a one-year renewable scholarship.
I think that when you start paying, when you treat players like employees, just like with coaches, it's going to turn into contracts, and you're going to be able to keep guys there.
If it turns into that, again, John, your question is over the next 5 years. If it turns into that, yeah, I see all the benefits he's talking about.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I know schools have fought classifying them as employees since the dawn of time, but if they got that resolution, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the how they're going to be classified will also be in regards to how they're going to be, you know, are you even going to be able to structure a contract? Can you call it a contract if they're not employees?
It's only getting started. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Lions fans should have no trouble traveling to away games this season. Did you hear about this? Delta Airlines has announced an increase in services and the creation of additional capacity at Detroit Metro Airport for some of the most highly anticipated away games.
This is smart.
This is so cool.
This is a good business model. Yeah.
On Friday, Delta revealed that they would have flights operating with larger aircrafts from Detroit to these important matchups against the Green Bay Packers, Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles. Pretty cool. So Delta says the added and expanded flight options still complement their regular scheduled operations, right? Which they say are already enough and equipped to get people where they need to go. But this, they say, is an exciting opportunity for Lions fans to travel directly to necessary away games without a layover and with more seating options. Pretty cool.
That's so cool, yeah.
I love it.
It makes all the sense in the world. So you look at like a big game, like when the Lions play Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it easy to get in and get out because you know the demand's there.
Yeah, it's great. Crazy, if you schedule one of these flights to go to an away game and you happen to miss your flight, probably don't call in a bomb threat because it's not going to go in your favor. A Monroe man, a young guy, 23-year-old John Robinson, is now facing charges after he called it a bomb threat at Detroit Metro Airport because he missed his flight. Remember we talked about this Spirit Airlines flight had to be like evacuated, right? Everyone had to be bused to the terminal. The plane was taken to a secure location, searched by bomb sniffing dogs because the airport got a alert that there could be a bomb on the plane. Well, apparently this guy had just missed his flight, thought, you know what? The best way for me to get on board is to call in a bomb threat. That's what he did. He was told at the gate, hey, you need to rebook. He said, no, I'm going to call into Spirit Airlines and tell them I've got information about a bomb that's going to be going through TSA checkpoints and going onto this specific plane. Didn't work in his favor. He's facing charges now. He was in federal court in Detroit on Friday, released on bond, but he'll be back in court June 27th for a preliminary examination.
And not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
Plan B is to call in a bomb threat, not rebook your flight. Okay.
Yep. Police have declared all of downtown LA an unlawful assembly area after arresting dozens over the weekend. Authorities and demonstrators are clashing for a fourth day after immigration raids in the city. Tensions really escalated on Sunday as thousands of protesters took to the streets in response to President Trump's deployment of the National Guard. Protesters blocked off a major highway. They set cars on fire. Police had to use flashbangs, tear gas to really disperse the crowds. Sunday was the third and really the most intense day of these demonstrations, all against the immigration crackdowns. California Governor Gavin Newsom said that the state will sue the Trump administration over the deployment of the National Guard, which he has called inflammatory. Yeah.
Want to see it stop. I mean, take the temperature down. Four straight days.
Yeah. Jared Leto. He's in the news. He is now denying allegations of inappropriate behavior with young women. On Saturday, this report was published that nine women alleged that he behaved inappropriately with them when they were teenagers. Now, a rep for the actor is saying, no, this is all false. It's all being denied. The allegations, however, date back to 2006. They include assaulting a 17-year-old, walking nude in front of another 17-year-old, engaging in sexually explicit conversations with a 16-year-old girl. And then another woman said that when she was 18, he pleasured himself in front of her and grabbed her hand.
Gross.
Yikes. Could Aaron Rodgers be a married man?
This rumor was going around for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So these relationship rumors are swirling once again because they have been ongoing after he was seen wearing this black band on his left ring finger in a photo that was shared by the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So that photo got shared, posted, everyone was commenting, but the marriage rumors really started earlier this spring when he was spotted wearing basically a similar ring during these like Kentucky Derby festivities back in May. No one seems to know for sure. Like his buddies aren't answering questions, but he did say last December that he was in a relationship with a woman named Brittany. So perhaps he and this woman are now married. Or maybe in like a really committed relationship where he's going to, or maybe he just wants to wear a ring and it happens to be on that
but
finger.
But the left ring finger?
Oh, come on. You don't think that he would just wear a ring on that finger just to send everybody into a frenzy?
I'm immunized. What's the equivalent of that? I'm in a serious relationship, but not a marriage. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's just a marriage of,
it's a promise ring.
Yes, it's a marriage of our, it's a marriage of our commitment to one another. I'm trying to talk in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you have to kind of like dance around it and go, okay, well, we're so in sync.
I'm promised.
It's a sync ring.
Could be.
We're so in sync. Anyway, that's Heather with the news. We're going to talk about the Tigers, the statement that they made over the weekend. It's 97-1. Guys, if you're ready for a straighter smile without the metal braces, if you've been thinking about Invisalign, it's the perfect time to make your move with Brightside Dental. Invisible, comfortable, and now more affordable than ever. Free Invisalign consultation. That's no pressure, just answers. And if it's right for you, flexible payment plans to make it easy. Fit any budget. You can start your journey for as low as $59 a month. Straight teeth, straightforward pricing. Something to smile about. Mention Jim Costa in the morning show. Lock in that price. Call 1-800-PAINLESS. Go to brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Tigers take 2-3 over the weekend. Those who were there Friday night have said playoff atmosphere. The players echoed that all weekend. They take 2-3, John. Make a statement. Fans showed up. They made their own statement as well. 248-539-9797. The statement that this team made was?
To me, it's just a really consistent team. There's going to be bubbles of ups and downs. And we saw, if your bubble of down is because it's the Chicago White Sox and they're a bad team that you split the series, and then you follow it up by beating and winning a series against one of the best teams, if not the team that's playing the best in the National League right now, okay, so be it. It's they continue to create space between them and the rest of the division. They have a 7-game lead over the next closest team in the division, and that right now is the Minnesota Twins. Results are what they are. We have very little to complain about because this team is just, they're not relying on one bat.
No.
One day it's Torque. One day, and just about every day it's Green. But then it's Carp. And it's what they're doing in the field. Like great defensive plays by Javi Baez, by Kerry Carpenter, at multiple different positions by Baez. Parker Meadows. Like it's at every single day, it's somebody else that steps up for this team.
Put it in perspective. They win a lot of series. We're used to this. This is their most impressive series win. Right? I mean, the only other team that we think that you'd like to measure up against is the Dodgers, and they lost that series. This is their most significant series win of the season. This is the thing they can hold highest over all other accomplishments and say, that's a World Series hopeful. We took 2 of 3, and by the way, we shut them out on Sunday. Jack is back. This is now 4 straight starts with 6-plus innings. He struck out 9. He gave up no runs. He got a little help from Carpenter with a cannon throw, bullet throw from right field. But John, Jack's back would be a statement from the weekend. That's their signature series win among all series wins they've collected this season, right? They've beaten the Yankees, right? They've go through some of the series. They beat the Padres. This is their most significant series win of the year.
I would say yes. The only other ones that I would point to would be, winning a series against the Padres, but sweeping the series against the Giants, a team that is very similar in construction and record to the Cubs, and they swept them. And
Cubs are a different animal in that offense. I mean, that's the big difference between the two. They come in scoring the most runs in baseball. Scooble holds them to 1. Flaherty holds them to 0. Bullpen does their job.
But it's kind of like they faced the Giants right after they lost that series to Cleveland. And it's the response that they always seem to have. And then it felt like a loss, but it was splitting the series against the Sox. And then they win a series against the Cubs. It's always the response. They don't go on prolonged losing streaks. 3. Count it. 3 is the longest losing streak that they have been on this year. And I believe that's only happened twice to start the season and then against Cleveland.
We'll get to the phones, and we got people who took a text as well. My biggest statement is the Tigers have caught the Lions. The crowds, the buy-in, and I think this is the central point. They have nothing left to prove in the regular season. Their season is defined by how they perform in the playoffs. They're collecting series wins. They're beating good baseball teams. They will be defined by what they do in the playoffs, much like the Lions. I mean, the Lions are at the point now where I've heard this from fans. I don't care if they win 11 games, just get in, because they're only defined by what they do. At this point, we expect them to win a division. They will only be defined by what they do when the lights are brightest in October and November. In that way, they caught the Lions.
Yes, because this is a team that we believe is bound for the postseason. They're coming off a postseason run last year. Even though it was historic, no one would have predicted it, but they have taken that, catapulted themselves into what they're doing this year, and we expect that, first of all, they're not going to have to play in that first 3-game series. We expect that they're going to get a chance to play in the ALCS, DS, in the World Series. Like, that is the expectation, is that they're going to be one of the last 2 teams playing.
Sound familiar? Getting a bye and favorable seating and being judged by being the last team standing. I think they've caught them. In terms of how fans feel about the baseball team, we feel the same way about the football team. Let's get to Nolan in Rochester. Nolan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up?
I was at the game Friday. The atmosphere was absolutely insane. My girlfriend and I go to quite a few Tigers games, and that was by far, up there with them clinching last year. As far as the atmosphere goes. So definitely props to them. But I wanted to say, their offense as of the last 2 weeks obviously hasn't been phenomenal as it has been to start the year. But even when the offense isn't producing like it usually has been, they're still finding ways to win. They're still finding those big hits that turn out to be big later on in the game. and stuff. And to be able to do that against a team like the Cubs really shows you that this is a great baseball team, and gets you hopeful for the playoffs as well. So I think their offense is going through it a little bit right now, but it's not something to worry about. They'll get back to it. And I was just really happy that they were able to pull out that win yesterday.
Yeah, you want to see how you stack up against playoff competition, and that is the team with the second best record in all of baseball. And you want to know, hey, if your offense is scuffling a little bit, because, hey, that's what's going to happen in the playoffs, can you find ways to win games? Even in this stretch, they're winning more than they lose. Against good pitching, right? You throw in Royals and Giants, and, yep, and Cubs are a good team, and Guardians got their number there. Winning record across the board, though, during this, quote, offensive slump.
How about this? The statement the team made is that management needs to be a significant buyer at the deadline.
I'd buy that, yeah.
Significant is you need to address the corner and you need to address the bullpen, because this team's ready to win.
Yep.
But it has a few flaws that they're getting by with right now with the slumping hitting the last couple weeks. But they're still, I think 10-7 since the Guardian series started. And that's kind of where the line was, where they started, you know, getting these hiccups and mm-hmm. With scoring runs. I know Chapman over the weekend had a stat about them when they scored three or less runs. They did it a bunch in this, you know, 17-game stretch or whatever. So I think we all agree, right? I mean,
yeah,
they've got to go get something because they're ready to win. They're ready. But everybody, the other contenders are going to add.
Yep, that's the key. The Yankees, they'll add. The Mets, they'll add. The Dodgers, go down the list. The Cubs, and yes, the Tigers. That is not a cry for help, but a rallying cry.
Yeah, I mean, since the Cleveland series, not counting that last win against Cleveland, this is a team that's 9-4.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you lose a series to Cleveland, but then you sweep the Giants, you win a series against Kansas City, the worst you did against a bad team is split a series with the Sox, and then you win a series against the Cubs.
What statement did they make to you? Fans showed up, showed out. Team showed up, showed out. It's 97.1.
Hey, FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals this week. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to check if a player's consistently during the playoffs? Or maybe there's somebody that's, you know, flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's getting hot. And after the tip-off, you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win something big. And if you don't already have a FanDuel account, it's not too late. You can still get in on the action. You're going to get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today and make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Couple phenomenal defensive plays for Kerry Carpenter. He had the throw from right field on Sunday. He robbed a homer on Friday. Tigers take 2-3 against the Cubs. What statement did they make to you? That is their most impressive series win of the year. You're looking for your signature wins? They played the Dodgers early. Mm-hmm. This is the team with the best record of the National League, and they shut them down on Sunday and Friday, really. I mean, you're 1-2. That's the other headline, by the way. You have a number 1 and number 2. Jack is back. Tigers take 2-3. 248-539-9797. And I said the observation I have, the Tigers have caught the Lions in terms of how the fans view them. They are packing the park. We know what the crowds are like for Lions games. Tigers fans are showing up and showing out. And they're also the same in that their expectations, not about the regular season anymore. They have nothing to prove. It's going to be whether or not they achieve what they need to do in the postseason.
Well, the expectation for me is that they're going to win every series. I know that's not realistic. I know they're not going to win every series. But going into everyone, that's not what I expect. I mean, they lost the series to Cleveland, and they responded against the Giants. Not an easy team to respond against. The same thing where I know that they didn't lose the series to the Sox, but they didn't win it either. I mean, right, they split it. So what do? They respond by winning a series against one of the better teams in baseball.
some ticket texters. I was curious to see how they would show up after a disappointing Sox series. The Cubs series is our statement series so far, and we are 100% contenders. That's the statement that we made. The statement made this weekend is that Riley Green has a major strikeout problem that needs to be fixed ASAP. Texter says 86 strikeouts in 65 games. He struck out four times on Saturday.
I looked that up from the texter to see how many he had. He leads all of baseball in strikeouts by hitters.
He also leads the Tigers in batting average. He's second in home runs and OPS. I'm not sounding any alarms.
So he either strikes out or he gets a
hit. Or he delivers as one of the best players on the team.
He's second in batting average. Dylan Dingler.
Oh, he didn't qualify. I don't know why he doesn't qualify, but he didn't show up. Like when you go to ESPN, they have the leader is Riley Green.
Okay.
It should be Dingler. You're right.
Well, he didn't hit a lot in April.
You're saying, yeah.
No, Dingler, in terms of the ABs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But at this point, he should... That's a stupid...
It takes a while to catch up. It's strange.
Yeah. Anyway, Dingler's played 50 games.
Yeah. You would think that would be enough.
Yeah, you're correct.
Versus the 65. Fine. I mean, 15 less games, but...
Riley Green is second in batting average.
Right.
Home runs, yeah. OPS. I'm not going to do the, he strikes out too much routine.
So does Spencer Torkelson, but Spencer Torkelson has 15 home runs, and he leads the team in RBIs. It's... Okay.
The team collectively, quote, strikes out too much. If you look at it, they strike out a lot.
The other thing about Torque is, without going down a huge rabbit hole, in essence, and I've got to imagine this one in terms of qualifying at bats or games, he leads the team in OPS at 842 because the only three guys ahead of him are Jamai Jones, who's right now an astronomical 3.5. Brewer Hicklin. And Wenciel Perez.
Guys who have only been here a minute.
Yeah.
In terms of teams' strikeouts, the Tigers are fourth most in all of baseball as a team. Like, if you want to put a pin in that and say in the postseason that concerns you because you can't have empty at-bats, okay.
But
who are the other teams?
Bad teams. Rockies, Angels, and Red Sox.
I not having done the deep dive into the stat, and maybe I'll get a chance to do that tonight for tomorrow's show, but when the Tigers are at their best... Even if they are striking out, it's in an at-bat that goes 7 or 8 pitches.
They work them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got here? Jack is back. Love it. Go Flaherty. Jason in Royal Oak. I'm happy that the Tigers caught the Lions on the success train as long as ticket prices don't catch up with Lions prices. Ticket Texture says, I want to challenge that notion that they've caught the Lions in terms of expectations. The Lions have stacked back-to-back quality seasons.
Well, last year was a playoff run by the Tigers.
This would be back-to-back for the Tigers, yes?
Yeah,
we are setting up for this to potentially play out, and I find it fascinating that Scott Harris might have a chance to do, at the deadline, what Brad Holmes didn't do this offseason.
If we're talking about deadline, what did Brad Holmes do at the deadline? He added the best available pass rusher that he possibly could when he needed to.
Yeah, I know. He was dealt a hand he couldn't recover from because the injuries came after the deadline. Most of the ones that killed them. He addressed Hutch the best he could.
Right.
Right. What I'm saying is if Scott Harris goes on to win a World Series because what he did at the deadline and we didn't do what we needed to do maybe this offseason, it's been the topic of the station this year so far is the need for edge rusher.
Yeah, but I think, so just my take on that, and I understand where you're coming from, we're comparing two different things. Off-season acquisitions versus trade deadline acquisitions.
Or we're saying one GM pushed all in and the other one didn't.
I hadn't thought of this way. Brad Holmes is regarded as the best general manager, architect, builder in the city. Is there a world where Scott Harris takes over that top spot at the end of the year? Absolutely, there is.
And I will love the fact that we're talking about that argument.
A race
versus,
to the top.
Yeah, who is the worst general manager? Like, that's the radio that we've had to do. Yeah. Tom Milliken.
248-539-9797. A couple more texts. This one, actually, two texts had a similar take on this. One message I took out of this weekend, pitching chaos was an anomaly last year. The bullpen days have not worked well this year, including Saturday when they got shelled. They need to keep adding starting pitching. Dave in a car, and an unnamed texter says the same thing. We probably won't see Job until post-All-Star. No one knows what's going on with Olsen's finger, but I don't think we see Cobb pitch for the Tigers. We need another arm because bullpen and opener days don't work like that.
They haven't this year. Certainly they have not worked like they did at the end of last year where you had one starter, you had Montero, but you were going to use him in creative ways, and then it was bullpen day, bullpen day, bullpen day, pitching chaos. Now you have Scooble and Flaherty, so you have a one and a two. The question is, going into the postseason, we're a long way from that, but the trade deadline is 6 weeks away. It doesn't mean you can't make it a move. Now, it's not likely. It's probably going to be closer within 2 weeks of the trade deadline, but who's going to be three and who's going to be four?
Yeah, I mean, Olsen's finger shouldn't be a long-term concern.
You wouldn't think so. Inflammation.
Right. And Mize is healthy but hasn't looked the way he started the year, but if he can get back to that form, you've got a 1-2-3 and a 4. You only need four for the postseason, and they'll know if they've got those four by late July and they can make a decision. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got that out there for Tiger fans, the statement they made over the weekend. Over the weekend, you and Heather were at different grad parties.
We were.
It's grad party season. Mm-hmm. And there's a question that's come out of that. Heather, that's mm-hmm. we'll throw that out next. Perfect. 97.1.